presentation, but should also be available in the security indicated that it is the DCRI. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcel, for your perspective from a research point of view. Will be also can assist us in our later deliberations as we go along. But I think it's quite significant today that the portfolio committee have a separate hearing on DP's line, as we have with the secretariat and with ISAC, the importance of an independent institution that will deal with the matters of corruption. So we are going to give now over to the International Commission and his team to deal with the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Good morning. Let me start by introducing the team. First, with me, Lieutenant General Janeva, the Major Head of the DPCI. Lieutenant General Matakata, the Deputy Major Head of the DPCI. I hope they are indicating where they are as I go through the list. Major General Nelson, Finance and Administration Services for the National Bureau, and indicated Lieutenant General Rami Khoshi, the CFO, who is also with us. Major General Ravi, I also have Major General Koza, the DGCI head here in the Western Cape province. Then Brigadier Olisi, I was in Cape. Brigadier Tio, also DGCI Western Cape. And Brigadier Sebebe, who's from my office, Brigadier Malawi, Brigadier Mthongo, DGCI, Brigadier Misha, who's from the strategic management, Colonel Lebaba, Colonel Mampan, that's the financial officer of the DGCI, and yeah, the, of the sub program. Then there's Colonel Matthews, who's the MSC commander in that environment. And lastly, Honorable Chen, Colonel Steen, who is with us. I'm just going to request General Ran to finalize the presentation as provided for in the plan, and General Kameza will then lead us in terms of the DPCI specific issues. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, General Pasane.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, the Honourable Chair. I do apologise, it seems that the mic where it's sitting was not working, sorry for that. As indicated when we dealt with the presentation on the five financial programs in the previous 2 days, we did skip the indicators in the annual performance plan of SAFS that relates to the DCI environment, so I'm just going to take you through that. The handouts and the slides that we made available to the members of the committee is on page or slide 115. The strategic objective that relates to that specific environment is, as indicated, the same as the one that relates to the effective service to contribute to the successful prosecution of offenders by investigating, gathering and analysing evidence. The first objective statement that relates to the sub-program specialised investigations relates to addressing serious corruption where officials are involved in procurement, fraud and corruption-related cases by convicting 1,000 persons. That is a cumulative figure and recovering the assets by 2019. We just need to note that previously it was referred to work in the APPSO, the Specialized Investigations of Serious Crime. The performance indicator that we are going to use in this regard is the percentage of trial ready case dockets for fraud and corruption by individuals within the JSPS cluster, and the target has been set at 53%. Sorry, I just need to, all the chairs, just need to check on something. Kevin, we are on the wrong slide. Can I just check where we are? The next indicator relates to solving within the specialized investigation environment. The objective statement is relating to the serious commercial crime. the detection rate, there are two indicators that we are going to use with regard to that. The first one relates to the detection rate of serious or personal crime related charges, and the target has been set to maintain that at 80%. The second one relates to the percentage of trial ready case documents for serious commercial crime related charges, and the target in that regard has been set at 53%. Next slide. The so within the strategic objective that relates to the investigative gathering and analysing of evidence, and still within sub-program specialised investigations, your objective statement is your specialised investigation of serious organised crime that falls within the DPCI environment. The percentage of registered serious crime organised projects investigations successfully terminated, and the target is set in that regard is 43% of all registered projects to be successfully terminated within the specific financial year. The next slide. The next objective statement within the program is to address serious corruption in the private and public sector by investigating and contributing towards the conviction of 120 persons in cases in which they have not benefited per case is more than 5 million and the recovered assets of 1.3 billion is listed, and that is a cumulative figure. Now, previously that referred to the address serious corruption where officials are involved in procurement, fraud and corruption related cases. By convicting 1,000 persons, that was a cumulative figure and recovering 3 million in assets by 2019. The performance indicators that we are going to use in this regard is the number of serious corruption related trial and case documents where officials are involved, including your procurement fraud and corruption, and the target that has been quantified there is 30 trial and case documents. You will note, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that previously it was the number of serious commercial crime-related trial in case documents where officials are involved, including procurement fraud and corruption. Now, the value of the amount involved in procurement fraud and corruption-related cases, the monetary value stated there that is the target on is 376 million of assets in respect. The next indicator is still within the specialized investigation environment that relates to the investigation of cybercrime. The performance indicator that we're going to use is the detection rate for cybercrime related cases, and the target has been set at 28%. The next one relates to ensuring and promoting mutual assistance and cooperation between the South African Police Service and other national and international law enforcement agencies to reduce transnational crime. This objective was moved from Program 4, Crime Intelligence, to Program 3, Detective Service, and it was placed under your specialized investigations. And the performance indicator that we are going to use there is the percentage of cross-border operations conducted in relation to the request received. The target has been set at 100%. The percentage of arrest of identified transnational crime suspects being facilitated. The target has been set at 100% of those identified cases. And then the last one relates to the proceedings of Interpol case files that's been finalized, and the target has been set for this financial year at 70% of the cases that has been registered. The next one, I think, then, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that basically concludes the indicators within the APB that relate specifically to the DPCI environment. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Honourable members will recall that when Tobias Stephen made the presentation on finances, it was a total budget, which also made the breakdown in terms of the short programs. On the basis chain, I'm going to allow the General Commission to take us through the issues. Thank you.
Thanks,
Honourable Chair, Honourable members. Without wasting time, I will request my CFO, Colonel Montane, to just quickly deal with this part.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, good morning. I'd just like to go to the content, which is the introduction. We've got the purpose of what they've already indicated, the papers on the strategic objectives. The planning table also it has already been dealt with. Let's go to page slide 3. On the slide 3, the introduction, the financial information and the key performance indicators in the BGCI budget plans as set out in the ESB to provide the portfolio committee with the information to hold BGCI accountable against the outcomes set out in the medium term strategic framework. From here, we can move to page 9 in order to avoid the repetition of the strategic objectives. Let's go to slide 9. On the slide 9, we've got the overall analysis. For the 2016-17 financial year, the BGCI reviewed the total budget of 1.4 billion, which is 1% of the total SHS national budget. The BGCI received a smaller allocation within program 3 at 8.5%, which is 1.4 billion from the total of 16 billion allocation on the program 3. The 2016-17 budget allocation for BGCI is now in hand. The next slide is the estimated expenditure for dietary. This is where I showed that the smallest allocation in terms of specialized investigation, where the BGCI is only allocated 1.4 billion. When we refer to current investigation, it's on 11.2 billion, current report center 2.2, forensic science is 1.8. So it shows clearly that the BGCI got the smallest allocation in this case. I did show on the next slide on the pie chart to show precisely how small it looks like on the pie chart. The next slide on the is the additional funding. It is necessary for the committee to consider the funding for following: the incorporation of the Interpol National Central Bureau capacity into the BGCI to enhance the capability in averting transnational crime; establishment of the two units within the BGCI to deal with the drugs and related transnational crimes, as well as the violence and proliferation of the firearms as a result in SONA 2016 and as part of the back to basic strategy of the SHS. The next slide is the expenditure trend and the estimate. Chairperson, Honorable Chair, from 2012-2013, the BGCI was allocated 1.2 billion. Let me just put it in this way. So 1,210 million, and 2013-2014 is 1,271 million, and then 2014-15 is 1,282 million, and then the previous financial year it was 1,369 million, and this current financial year where we are taking the budget is 1,431 million, and the two estimated financial years, which is 2017-2018, is 1,528 million, and 2018-2019 is 1,617 million. Honorable Chair, the next slide is about the economic classification of payment. I saw on the previous presentation it was requested. It's one of the requested requirements that we need to deal with in terms of the BGCI. In terms of the current payment, where the composition of employees and the goods and services were added together, the previous financial year, BGCI was allocated 1,140, which is the compensation of employees and goods and services added together. And then there is an increase of 5.4%. This past financial year, the goods and services and composition of employees added up to 1,413 million. So, and then after the next financial year, the estimate for 2017-2018, it amounts to 1,506 with an increase of 6.5%, and 2018-2019, it amounts to 1,597 million with an increase of 6%.
When it comes to transfer and subsidies, Chairperson, the transfer and subsidies in this case is 880 on the previous financial year, of which in this current financial year we had that 5.2%, which is amounts to 870,000. The estimate for the following financial year is estimated at 920,000, and 2018-2019 it amounts to 970,000. So with the estimated increase of 5.8%. The payment of capital assets, Chairperson, the previous financial year we allocated only 17,500,000, of which this current financial year we had 5.8% amount to 18,500,000 with an increase of 5.8%. The estimate of the 2017-2018 financial year, we added an increase of 6.5%, which is 19,700,000. And of which 2018-2019, 5.6% were added, of which is 20,800,000. The total of the budget in this case, Honorable Chair, it shows that the previous financial year, 1.3 billion was allocated, of which only 3.9% were added to make it 1.4 billion. And of which the estimate for 2017-2018, 8.1% was added to make it 1.5 billion. And in 2018-2019, 5.8% were added to make it 1.6 billion. Chairperson. The next slide, Chairperson, which is the summary. The National Health Office, DCCI, is responsible for agency resources such as national health and equipment. Effective from 2016-17 financial year, the National Treasury has earmarked a budget allocation for DCCI. The compensation of employees will remain the largest cost of spending, contributing nearly 62% of 881 million of the total budget for 2016-17 financial year, which is paid by the National Head Office. So the DCCI is responsible for overtime, which form part of the 560 million allocated. The cost containment measures as announced by the Minister of Finance and the Public Service Administration to be taken into consideration. The DCCI is to conduct community awareness campaigns to sensitize the community about corruption activities. The local government elections scheduled for 2016 will demand more operational costs for personnel to perform their tasks in order to achieve the director's objectives. The budget and the travel assistance expenses are regarded as a major cost rise in this case. I'd like to thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Members, as we have seen the discussion of the budget, it's clear that where now we are, that the executive service program three, we are only getting 1% out of 15 billion.
Regarding the operational and financial dependence of the DCI, of course, the committee. will that mean for your budget envelope? Because you don't want an unfunded mandate situation where you get now that very important responsibility or specialized unit, but you have got only that allocation of 1.4 and hope it goes up in how many years. But we can just get a sense of that. That's my first good question, and it will go to one of the most.
Thank you, Chairperson. Most of your work in this DGT is linked to the cyber crime fund. Which decades cyber crime is very important in your environment. But the target is so low. Can you make an explanation here? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Just as an opening request, I think the slide 14 on the budget information guide for number classification, can I just request, Chair, that when these are prepared for presentation, they just be given a bit more detail, attention, and proofreading, because I found it difficult to follow in terms of these figures in millions or billions, thousands or millions, because it seems to change across different cells. When I add up, just looking at the 16-17 column, what I assume is 1.4, 1.3 billion current payments, and if you stick to millions as the denomination, then going through the remainder of the cost, you can end up at a different figure. So there was just a bit of an obsession for me there around being able to cover those figures. So if you can just get a bit more attention and detail on that, so we can follow the figures accurately. I round at 1.675 billion. If I was to stick to millions denomination of current payments, transfer subsidies, and payments for capital assets, so that they can just be corrected and see properly vetted. Chair, I have a sentiment of small-mindedness when it comes to this entity. I'm not sure I would say that it's often so obvious. It seems to display a schizophrenia, I would say. On one hand, we have aspects of the DPCI's work that are proceeding very well, in line with the mandates, making arrests, and pursuing serious and organized crime as it should. On the other hand, there's this Mr. Hyde shadow side to it, which is a lot more haphazard, a bit more feet from the hip, very much sort of long range of cowboy. And we've seen a couple of cases in the media which raise those questions at the very least. And so my two minds of this comes from I very much want to support the parts of the DPCI's mandate that pursues, for example, cybercrime with what major work to do in bolstering this, as well as obviously the mandates as defined, which according to a reply from the Minister, shows that it's actually currently suffering due to a major decline in the conviction rates by the DPCI over the past 6 years. So out of those concerns. But then, of course, on the other hand, I'm extremely reluctant to see any further progression of what I would characterize as a hit squad MO to some parts of how the DPCI have conducted themselves. And so the question that flows from that for me, and I think just to have one hook severity of investigations where high-level officials are involved. And here I'm going to reference what seems to be in the pipeline for the KZN provincial commissioner, the Lieutenant General Ben, who's been implicated in some procurement fraud allegations in the province. So the impartiality of investigations, especially insofar as high-level officials are involved. And then also, of course, I noted that the objective statement only makes reference to officials is about the integrity, if you will, or something like that. And is the DPCI free? Do they feel free to go after political officials? So if somebody is implicated in procurement fraud or corruption, and they are a dictator, which of course would be the answer to the scorpions of the predecessor, is the DPCI free to execute their mandates freely, fairly, impartially, and not to have this constant dark cloud over them, which makes them seem to create a very toxic environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Daly. Honourable Mura, and then Honourable Ramaswamy, and then that does do follow the limit. Honourable Mura, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, sir, Honourable Chair, and thanks for the presentation, in general. My first really point I want to make is like, I think Chair Wallace Friday, we should still say that the committee appreciate lots of work that the police is doing. We know that sometimes we can be hard on the police and fail to acknowledge that it stays in peaceful at times because of the work that the police is doing in the country. For that, I think we must continue to thank them for that thankless job. Coming to the question I want to ask the general from the DPCI, the 1.4 million rand, the amended act sort of gives you a degree of latitude and power to determine at the presentation level initial state of the budget when the wishes are prepared. Now, I just want to understand this particular process. What did you ask for? What did you present as your wish list for 2016-17 budget? Yes, it's my 1%. It comes down from 1%. What was the submission? Or was the determination of that determined for you? That's really the question I'm asking. What did you ask? We want support, but we must also understand where did we come from? What did we ask? Because I think the issue of the complicated crime investigation does need resources, does need support, and I think we would as a quality support that kind of call. Particularly we talk about therapy that sometimes they get sent back to the hospital because of the complication and synthesis that goes into it and there. So that for us is a resource. But for us to be able to understand that, we need to understand what was, what is the is it 4 billion that we're looking at? Did you ask for 3 billion and you got 1? Or did you ask for 5 and you got 1? So that's really what I'm trying to understand, because the acts do say that you help play a particular role in determining that. So there's no junior thing in terms of the, even though the national commissioner is a country officer, but take your wishes together with what they have prepared set. So who prepared this 1.4 million, for example? The second question I just want to share is the capacity. Of course, there are now two units and the interposition. There should be some estimate or projections of what is going to be going forward in terms of the, because there's a policy decision made, the president made the announcement, that means the general will have to keep the road running together with the minister to make sure that those units are operational, not only, and they do the work. Where will the budget be particular units? Is the work being done in terms of ready? So that when we go to the next round of engagement in October, we are likely to see adjustments. But just what is, would the work being done to do those types of kind of estimated costs in terms of projection? And the last point that I would like to share, the presentation that was made by the researcher here, I think when we get to the recommendation later, we will have to make some recommendations. You see, there is a, we are expected to adhere to constitutional court judgment as Parliament. In making good what the judges have said is not given sufficient independence, both in terms of the amendment, but also in terms of action, that the action that we do in terms of our recommendations is in line with the court judgment. We cannot be seen to be doing something that contradicts the judgment. It's not the judgment of today, it's the whole judgment of it. But, so Chair, I want to make a suggestion that when we get to the recommendation, we would really have to make the recommendation simply. If there is a complication about program is a complication because of the similarities and so on, I think we should move straight into what we talked about, a separate vote that you have with assets, a separate vote that is part of that committee or police, that we in our organization, they get a clear recommendation around this. So somehow we need to get done with this debate. Because shouldn't be there's a technical debate that is going on, not quite doing what it's supposed to be doing, because Treasury say there's a similarity and there's a program. Now we're engaging with the terms, semantics of terms. So I want to say, Chair, that we will go to that. I don't think that it will be a problem for us to amend the section that requires amendment to give that as the committee, and so that's part of the work that we need to do to make laws. I know that the Honourable Delegate put some reluctancy in the full support because it's a strong concept, but I think this is where we will probably have to go, and I think you will probably go with us when we talk about the things that the vote for the subject that we need, that is able to do the work that we need to do. And I think colleague has already asked, I always worry the what you want to achieve. How do you get to a figure? How do you get to a figure of what you want? The 30% that was mentioned earlier on with the completion of the presentation of that. When you say target to achieve for 2016, 17, 30%, how do you get to it? I know your answer may be, you look at what you've achieved in the previous year, but what you've achieved in the previous year is the best of the best that you need to achieve in that particular area of targeting and what you're going to achieve. So that's really, for me, I want to be in your class to understand how you get to this high and low. 30% at some point, another one is just 53%. How do you get to that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I want to express my concern about the independence in light of the fact that you are going to be accountable to the Minister. The Commissioner will be the accounting officer. And I want to tell you also, who exactly will you report if there was voluntary interference? Who would you report? Because the Minister is a member of
they could use the same money to go out there and combat this type of crime and actually come to a stage where you might be able to eradicate it even completely, but you know, if you like to consider and get it out. So if this fund comes in fact, that might motivate you to do, you know, money motivates everybody. So in this case, if you know the more crime you go and combat, the more you complete, the more money you recover, I think that's a motivating factor, so there'll be more money for your fund. So I want to know whether that you think that that would be one of the situations in light of the fact that we have, you know, a whole lot to do in the country with regards to the limited budget and revenue that we seem to be getting. The other challenge that I have, or maybe a third one, is you talk about community programs. If you can just elaborate on what community programs you think, so getting the community buying into these things. Because that is ultimately what we want to do, is not just to hide it and recover, but to reduce it or get rid of it. And so what programs you put actually in place? I'm worried about the cyber crime because the target is sitting very, very low, I must understand. But I guess you will get the in time sort of to perhaps be able to address that. Let me leave it for then.
Well, there is a question. I'll be very short. I think in the budget and projection session, first of all, I thought we were going to get a green light in terms of the DPCI's capacity building to Kruger National Park in terms of what the committee also, we spoke about drones and all those things. Up until they reach a level of equilibrium in terms of capabilities of standing on their own, once the DCI will be overseeing the running of their operations. So, personally, I don't see that projection being made so that we can understand. Two, it is in terms of the fixed costs. From national provinces, because they are established in all nine provinces. From national to provinces, there are fixed costs. Side by side with those fixed costs, then there are operational costs which will be on the value decree. Because in these provinces, there will be some projections in terms of the demand of, to say, for example, this year or last year, the volume of organized crime seems maybe to be in place either Gauteng or that we are making projections that maybe this year in terms of our financial year there might be either an increase or decrease depending on what has been done. So unfortunately there is no clarity in terms of that which will then give a proposal to the committee when then you are able to say there is indeed a serious cut to the bone by the treasurer. How do you then begin to say, no, this is going to affect this? Because there is no clarity. I read this in terms of breakdown, in terms of fixed cost, for example, at an operational level of the provinces, fixed cost at an operational level, at a national level. Then the projections. Then you go to the international to say, in terms of the cooperation with the Interpol and all that, these are the expected, because of the multi programs, the programs that run concurrently with these particular corporations, their projections are fixed at this. So I think at the end of the day, that's the point. Remember, as a question, as committee members, we are not necessarily an embedded arm of TBCI. We don't know of the details, the inside details that are taking place in there. But at the political level, so that we can then be able to say, when you are convincing the political authorities, no, you can't cut beyond this level, because this is going to ground this particular unit. But I think in their presentation of the budget, it is rather too rounded and too general and generic in nature. It can be impossible really to spend on both feet to say, no, here, you will get. Let me understand the cut in terms of the total slice, but in terms of these things that I mentioned, it becomes a somehow of a gray area. For now, I would like to share.
Thank you, Minister. There are three questions from the members, and I think this is just put that perspective. The Constitutional Court judgment in 2014, what Judge McLean said on page 29, because that will, it's only the second time that the committee is going out through this process, and I just want to quote from page 29 of that judgment. The Chief Justice said the DPCI's budget is specifically and exclusively appropriated by Parliament for the entire increase in expenses to incur in the performance of its mandate. Neither the Executive nor the National Commissioner has the final say on the level of the DPCI's funding. Parliament does. The preparation of the budget of the director by his national director consultation is entitled to have with the National Commission on the Budget and the possible mediation by the Minister in the range of disagreement between the two demonstrates adequacy of the DPCI's independence in relation to the budget. More importantly, the National has control over the monies appropriated by Parliament for the DPCI. Added to this, that's today's proceedings that we actually want to strengthen. The National Head, in terms of section 7K2B, which provides that the National Head shall make a presentation to Parliament on the budget of the director. Members will remember that last year it was the first occasion General Dramat made that as part of the text program in that famous meeting in the hotel outside. Now, the judge also said, although the presentation relates to the money that would have been spent already, it presents an annual platform to the National Head to raise whatever concerns he might have about the inadequacy of the previous budget and the need for future assistance. I just want to add the need for future increase. So, part of the presentation this morning in terms of the Constitutional Court judgment is they must vote about it. In terms of, as Honourable Robert Khan said as well, in terms of the two additional program or units that will be established, that must indicate to us. And of course, in our recommendations, we must get so well, we agree or disagree, we think there should be further increases. So that's really our role. So I just wanted to indicate that context. Right, thank you very much, Acting National Commissioner and your team.
Thanks, Honourable Chen, Honourable Members. I'll leave with you and allow the member to cover the rest. I am not here going to express my opinion on the choices. I respect the prestige, so whichever is the outcome of the legislative process will be implemented. As it is, we have the DCI as one of the interdependencies, the sub program. I think it's a program 5, if I'm not wrong, 3, so it's a program 3. It is ring-fenced, which means that money cannot be used for anything else other than ensuring that the mandate of the DPCI is being executed. And I think between General Ramaphosa and General Nelson, they must maybe deal with the other issue as to what the needs were and what feedback we got from General. Because when we say green fence, it's not us who is doing green fence, it is coming from Treasury as a green fence, and it is just accommodated in the budget. I also do not want to say much in terms of the 1%, so because I look at the slide which is presented, which shows 7%, and if you look at the three sub-programs, forensic services 11%, criminal record sentence 18%, and 9% for special investigations. So I thought that they are very close to each other. Safe to say that I've been asking, and I think that work is currently underway, to say we have money in program one. For example, whether we talk IT or training and so on, I functioned the process to want to know if you take
IT, for example, what portion of that goes into supporting, for example, whether it's forensic services, whether it's usable policy, so that we can then quantify to say, in addition to what is there, how much benefit are they deriving from that money which is somewhere in program one. I think that's what is underway at some point. And maybe the other thing that influences the distribution will be the numbers. If you take the functions of crime investigation, you find it all over in the stations. That's why maybe it accounts for a much bigger portion of that program three. In terms of, I think one other thing that I must like to comment on, it is important that we make sure that we do not overload the DCI environment, because we will then be deviating from what the mandate of the DCI is. It is against that background that a decision was taken somewhere to keep to the mandate in terms of what is it, serious organized crime, serious corruption and so on within the DCI environment. And as we commonly talk about level 1, 2 and so on, to make sure that those are performed within the general investigation environment. On that note, I think in this year, ultimately, we will have that organized crime component established within the detective services, as well as the organized crime and capacity that should be able to address some of those lower level issues that are not supposed to be escalated to the DPCI, because they will continue to exert pressure on the capacity which is there within the DPCI environment, which will be a serious injustice considering the constraints money-wise and resources and so on. Because if you put more there, you must also put more resources. And unfortunately, you don't put those resources overnight. It's a process. And it will hamper the excellent work that is ordinarily done in the particular environment. So, the issue of cybercrime, General Kaneza will talk to. I noted what Honorable Bede said, but maybe I'm a little bit uncomfortable when we talk of a hit squad and modus operandi within that environment. I thought that the Hawks are doing a great job in terms of investigating those cases that falls within their mandate. It is so clear that you are going to have discomfort from those who are on the receiving end. But I think that should not make us to do our work with fear. We should allow to execute our mandate without any fear or favor. And therefore, I would not agree with the notion of a hit squad, because if there was such, we would not fold our arms and become spectators. It would be required of us to act, because we are all to respect the laws of our country and ensure that we execute the policy mandate fully as provided for in the Constitution. The second issue that Honorable Bella would have raised is the one of impartiality of investigation. I do think that there is that impartiality. We don't have to be influenced by anyone. We get influenced by the facts. It is immaterial who the person that has committed a crime, as long as the facts at our disposal suggest that there is wrongdoing, there is unlawfulness,
we will act. And I think we are doing exactly that. Honorable Mayor, you used an example of an individual that I would want to refrain from using names, but we will be aware that action has been taken. Whether people are officials, whether people are politicians, because when it comes to who is a suspect, the status doesn't matter. We deal with the wrongdoing and not the person as such. And this is before our courts will be evident that there is work which has been done. But unfortunately, in doing the work that we do, some people will become uncomfortable. And that's the nature of the work that we do. I like what Ramadani said. The work we do is a thankless job. Today you end against this politician, you are wrong. Tomorrow, there is someone who is to be acted upon, we are right. So we try to send everyone the same brush. It's a suspect, irrespective of the status, we do our work. And we'll appreciate that we be respected for executing the mandate that the Constitution prescribes. Honorable Chair, appreciation to Honorable Ramadani for always remembering that the work we do is a thankless job. But despite the fact that it is a thankless job, it's what we set ourselves to do. People of this country deserve a policy service, and we will render that service at all costs. Where there is appreciation for the work we do, it encourages us to want to do more. Where, for example, there is constructive criticism, we will learn out of that. If we are on the wrong side, we will want to correct, so that whatever we do, it is in the spirit of the Constitution and the mandate of policy. So thank you very much for remembering that honorable members slept peacefully because you knew that the police are there and you could travel here. Even if there was an accident somewhere on the road, you knew that the police are there, and we are grateful. I'll leave the question of what is it that the DGCI asked in comparison to the 1.4 million to Jamal Demeza and the team. And that also speaks to the capacity. I think here, when it comes to capacity, as I said, we as an organization, together with the Hawks, must be very cautious of not taking anything which falls outside the mandate of the DGCI. We may want to go back and review some of the decisions that rules have taken so that they don't complicate our situation. Because the DCI cannot be seen and treated like a police station. You will not have DCI everywhere. It is a specialized unit to deal with crimes committed at a particular level. And we unfortunately are not going to have the resources as a township to capacitate similarly as a police station. You will not have, for example, the same number of DPCI members as you have in the general detectives, because general detectives are found all over. What is critical is that within the detective environment, we build requisite capacity to be able to respond to the challenges out there. If, for example, the DPCI mandate talks to thresholds, to say, when it comes to serious corruption, for argument's sake, you look at crimes to this day, you can't make the DPCI to go and focus on 100,000 corruption if it is not falling within that particular threshold. Therefore, you need to make sure that that capacity to deal with such is located where it's supposed to be to be able to respond to the issues accordingly. In terms of what Honorable Sheikh had raised, who do you report to? Maybe the general must answer that one, but I can assure the Chair, Honorable Member, that the political interference is foreign to us, because in this case, in the execution of our mandate, we take directives from a police level, from the Minister of Police, who happens to be a politician. But that doesn't make the Minister of Police the accounting officer. So there are clear demarcations on what is the role of the Minister from a policy level, as a member of Parliament, as the Constitution dictates that the President will appoint a member of Parliament to oversee and give policy direction and guidance to the police, and that they comply. So the political interference is very foreign to us, and we will want it to remain such, so that we are able to continue to execute our political mandate without any fear or danger. The second question that Honorable Sheikh raised was, could you not use the same resources or money that we are confiscating? I think here, if I'm not wrong, Honorable Sheikh, we talk about what is the process of crime. There is a process which is being followed to be able to access those funds. But in the main, those funds go back into the coffers of government. So we don't necessarily go direct and say, this year we have confiscated 500 million, bring them 500 million to us. They said that process. I know that in the meeting that I was in of the Director General, a concern was raised with the prolonged process that is being followed to access funds. So where it is practically possible, that will be the case. But I know that it is not immediate. John Gomez will talk to the community programs that we alluded to. And in terms of what Honorable Mufonga raised, there was an issue of the international capacity and so on. Yeah, I think we are waiting on the short of it is also for within the scope of when done by general detectives. And Honorable Chair and members will recall that there is a Rhyme 6 project, which has capacity dedicated to deal with the issues in the past, not necessarily in the Kruger National Park only. And I think they are doing a good job. We continue to resolve them accordingly. So, Chair, if it enjoys your approval, I'll ask the Kruger to deal with those matters that I did not cover for the sake of time.
Okay, that's good, sir.
Thanks, General. Honorable Chair, honorable members, I think the General Kadane has covered some of the issues, but I'll just leave some of the gaps. Starting with the issue, that is number one, asked by the Chair, what is the most appropriate vehicle to deal with serious organized crime between the SAR program and a program and a separate group? Taking into account in terms of the development up to so far, and also the feedback from the research group, now that the money for the DPCR is earmarked,
I know now that I'm responsible for it as the head of the PCR. I would propose that we try, Honorable Chair, to move towards the separate votes. It's going to take a long time, but if we start, as General Patan has indicated, that it's nothing like an effort, but if we start year by year to move towards it, it will be okay. Because now the pressure now that is facing me is the issue of the independence of the CCI. The people in the country, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, they are looking at me now. Hence, even in terms of operation and judicial conducting, you will find it's somebody, a special person, who's very important, is hit by the judicial. And another one is hit. You hear people making the big noise. That's it. Why this one? The judicial is speaking. Because the judicial will not know that this is so important. That is calling the people to fall in the world country. That's what so is understood. Because up to so far, I think the judiciary, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, is trying to protect this independence. Although there are some challenges, but we are pushing that the country must see us as independent. So, this separate vote, it will be my proposal that we move towards it, this separate vote. Because if now we go in to say, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, it was the problem. The issue still remains. The National Committee is an accounting body. If it's going to be a staff program like those one of criminal record center, etc., still, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, the National Committee is the accounting office. But if the matter is not this year or next year, we become a full vote. Like the Secretary and the Traditional Affairs and the President during my discussion with DG Uzile, where he said, no, in Secretary there was this problem. I'm appealing to this House that let's try. If it comes to a push, if in the edge, Honorable Chair must be revisited. If it comes to a push. Because the people of this country, they want the work. They want the work to do this work. And I think I will be saying, Honorable Chair, not to appraise the Honorable Member over whom they Honorable Member, for the vocal to say if the DCI is doing well. But if the DCI must stop to behave like a software. I want to put it clear. What is my own need to move from the activities of this problem? Hence, even in terms of the operation, it's not professional with the hitting and hitting. Hitting and hitting. It means the division is not in being controlled politically. I'm independent. I'm independent. I'm asking the people of this country to give the force a space to implement this independence. The people of this country were tired of this problem. And now the horse now has come. And it's doing. Yes, the DCI will be teaching very important people. I know you have heard this week. If it's not the weekend, I'm not going to mention it. It's a very good person. When other people would say that person is very good. Because it's assisting some of the people to speak organized by only not to be controlled by politicians or agencies. The hub is independent. But we say the hub, we say the hub is independent. But is hitting a person who's not supposed to be hit, absolutely new, who's a part of the law. I tell you in terms of this question. Coming to the issue of the cyber, Honorable Mulavan, the cyber is a very, very special entity within the DPGAM. And we are aware now, human trafficking is linked to the cyber. Organized crime in terms of the drug is linked in terms of the cyber. We're having a conference in Germany where all the countries were complaining about the issue of cyber, where organized crime is linked and human trafficking. For example, we've trained 25 members after we appeared here. They attended a course for 5 days, 25 members within the DPGAM. So I can say without fear or any contradiction that we are moving towards a better place for the life of time in this country. If you hear any hating is also involved and in terms of the cyber, many of the people have been coming through using the cyber technique. We are having a program whereby we want to send our members. It's a pity, I think, next month, the first group will be lacking in Brazil. It's going to start. I'm going to send the top miners 80 members. Within the GPDAN, find. So that these members must go there. When they come there, they must protect the people of this country from being robbed by this time. General China, Honorable Chair, has tried to cover some of the questions. Unless I would be directed by this Honorable House that there's a question granted, I did not touch.
Honorable Chair, if I may, to know the question that was asked, what was your submission in respect of the 1 billion? Did you ask for more? Did you get less? I think that the question is not taken care of. Are we suggesting that another question should be visited? If it's my nature, that my question is not taken care of.
Yeah. And maybe also the issue of your staff establishment that I've asked in my third question, can just be in the question as well.
Thanks, sir.
Well done, sir. Well.
First of all, please allow me to respond to some of the questions concerning the budget allocation. So, to start off, the 1.431 billion was the estimate as was indicated in the indicative allocation by the National Treasury when we prepared the medium-term expenditure framework, and the such was estimated and presented to the DCCI at that point in time. And that was then appropriated as proposed currently. But it should be noted that the 5 billion rand reduction to impose on the vote was not imposed on the DPCI allocation. In other words, their share of reductions, the National Treasury kept their allocation as is without reducing their portion. So in fact, they benefited, and therefore you will note the 5.24% increase towards this financial year versus the 4.3% for the general detective program as well. But Chief, also please allow me, if one look at the DPCI and the baseline since the establishment of the auction 1999 in June, up to now there's been a 35% increase in the budget allocation. The main reason for that was the request for additional funding subsequent to the promulgation of the Amendment Act, where we approached the National Treasury in terms of additional staffing levels and fiscal resources to the tune of 150 million rand over the MTF subsequent to the promulgation of the Act. Of that, 300 million rand was allocated and is sitting in the baseline, essentially for goods and services in order to capacitate then the DPCI at the medium term period. Jefferson, I think then also just to note that as correctly indicated, the National Treasury with the interaction in terms of the legislation from last year where we embarked on the process as required by the head of the works to have the program established, they indicated, and it was indicated in the slides also by researchers, the specific earmarking of the allocation. So therefore, as we indicated, and I would like to quote, as for the allocation mechanisms, the National Commission also referred to that, where they said that this amount is listed specifically and exclusively appropriated and may be utilized for the purpose indicated unless the amount or purpose for which it was allocated is amended in terms of an Act of Parliament. So therefore, in the adjustment estimate in the current financial year, should there be any amendments to allocation, new functions added or moved from the Hawks, then we will have to approach Parliament and to maintain the budget allocation. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I will go now to that question of capacity. Especially now we are talking of the new units that are going to be established. Just for the information of the House, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I have instructed that the feasibility studies must be conducted. And now, when I'm talking, they are busy with that. But I did not hold my arms. I started to formulate some temporary assumptions in all the provinces. And I can say, in terms of my formulation up to so far, because they started to operate those temporary structures in terms of the firearms and drug units. They started from the 1st of March. Already, it's more successful. It's more successful. I can say in blood banners and firearms that have been recovered. And 64 persons arrested. That is the combination of the drugs and the firearms. It's proving that the issue of illegal firearms in the country is a very serious matter. And the drugs. Immediately now, these two units are on pace. Definitely, I think it's time in this country is going to go down. Presently, I'm having honored members, chair, I'm having in the judiciary in terms of the budget number 3,615. What I'm having now is 2,698 members. I'm talking of personnel. I'm busy dealing with the issue of filling the vacant post. But as I indicated when I was still teaching, I found the judiciary with a large honorable chair of vacancies. But now I can say I have filled now more than 250 something. And when I'm talking, some people are going to sit to deal with those vacant posts. It's different now, Kati. Now we're going to have units. I would ask this honorable house,
or to recommend and ask as it would be proper if this capacity is increased. I know when I'm saying it must increase, it's going hand in hand with the budget. Very soon I will be presenting the new structure for the DCCI. DCCA and a team from my office, before the end of April, they are going to finish the structure, of which I want to sign off that structure at least before the 15th of May this year. And that structure is where these two units will be in that structure. Because at least very soon we want to launch these two units, as the minister has indicated. But it's a process because there must be a structure, there must be accessibility study, so that everything must be according to the law, so that it does not become unlawful. Coming, honourable chair, to the issue of the community outreach. In the judiciary, we don't call it community outreach. We call it awareness campaign. At a smaller scale, the purpose of this awareness campaign is because when church is the mandate of the host, it also deals with the prevention. If honorable chair, honorable members, the host became arrested every day without sensitizing the people, it would be a disaster in this country. Because people, they like this tender issue. So it's the whole duty to go outside to say, don't commit corruption. Don't allow the people to engage in the drug. Because if we don't deal, honorable members, with the issue of drugs, in 20 years to come, there will be no generation in this country. Because that is a cancer. And if it is corruption, we need to shout about it, to make a noise, so that the statistics in terms of these issues of the corruption will be going down. Because the prison will be full. And the SDA's hand will be also be full. And the capacity of the division is still very little. Hence now, I heard this vision, honorable chair, that I must talk openly about this issue to sensitize the people that if I'm doing this, the hope will be coming.
I think it's